Welcome to our Lenten service. When God blesses you with being a parent and having your kids, you take care of them for many years, but you're also teaching them things. As a parent, I remember trying to keep my kids safe and teaching them how to cross the road or don't touch the hot stove and so many other things. You're not just trying to prevent them from getting hurt, you're teaching them how they can watch out for themselves. I picture Jesus doing a lot of those same things with the disciples. They just didn't understand everything about Jesus, and they didn't really know about their faith entirely yet. But Jesus was always teaching them, and in our Bible reading for tonight, he's telling them to watch out. There's dangerous things out there, and he really wanted the disciples to pay attention. Well, the message that we have for ourselves tonight is the same thing. We are to watch and pray. There are things, dangerous things out there to our faith as Christians, and we know what to do when those dangerous things come. We pray. We don't rely on ourselves. We rely on the Lord and the things that he can do for us by faith. In the name of our God, to whom all hearts are open and from whom no secrets are hidden, amen. O Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. And in your faithfulness, come to my relief. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. Answer me quickly, O Lord, my spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a troubled and repentant sinner, confess that I have sinned against you in my thoughts, my words, and my actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I am distressed by the sins that trouble me and am deeply sorry for them. Jesus says to his people, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. His death paid for the guilt of your sins and the sins of the whole world. Do you believe this? Yes, I believe. Because of the promise of our Savior Jesus, I forgive you all your sins. Be assured that you are a dear child of God and an heir of eternal life. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for this day of grace now coming to an end. Stay with us and warm our hearts with your forgiving love in Christ. May your word keep our faith burning brightly, that we may walk in the light of your presence through the darkness of this world. Come and bless us as we worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with our third reading of the Passion History. This again is a collection of all the events that happened to Jesus during Holy Week. Our section begins after Jesus has been betrayed and arrested, and now he's been taken to that fake court trial, and the disciples are following. Simon Peter and another disciple kept following Jesus. That disciple was known to the high priest, so he went into the high priest's courtyard with Jesus. But Peter stood outside the door. So the other disciple, the one known to the high priest, went out and talked to the girl watching the door and brought Peter inside. The servants and guards were standing around a fire of coals they had made because it was cold. While they warmed themselves, Peter was standing with them, warming himself too. One of the servant girls of the high priest came there. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked directly at him and said, "You were also with Jesus the Galilean." But Peter denied it in front of everyone, saying, "I don't know what you're talking about. Woman, I do not know him." When Peter went out to the entryway, someone else saw him and said to those who were there, "This is one of them. This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." Again, Peter denied it with an oath and said, "I do not know the man." After a little while, those who stood by came and said to Peter, "Surely you are also one of them, because even your accent gives you away. You are a Galilean." Then he began to curse and to swear, I do not know this man you're talking about. I do not know the man. At that very moment, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the Lord's words, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." Peter went outside, broke down, and wept bitterly. The high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I always taught in the synagogue or at the temple where all the Jews gather. I said nothing in secret. Why are you questioning me? Ask those who heard what I told them. They know what I said." When he said this, one of the guards standing there hit Jesus in the face. "Is that how you answer the high priest?" he demanded. "If I said something wrong," Jesus answered, "testify about what was wrong. But if I was right, why did you hit me?" The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false testimony against Jesus so they could put him to death. They found none, even though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" Yet even on this point, their testimony did not agree. The high priest stood up and said to Jesus, "Have you no answer? What is this that these men are testifying against you?" But Jesus remained silent. Then the high priest said to him, "I place you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "It is as you have said. But I tell you, soon you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his robes and said, "He has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? See, you have just heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" They answered, "He is deserving of death." Then some began to spit on him. They covered his face, struck him with their fists, and said, "Prophesy to us, Christ. Who hit you?" The guards also took him and beat him, and then they went on saying many other blasphemous things against him. As soon as it was day, the council of the elders of the people met together, both the chief priests and experts in the law. They brought Jesus into their Sanhedrin and said, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask you, you will not answer me or release me. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God." They all said, "Are you then the Son of God?" He said to them, "I am what you are saying." Then they said, "Why do we need any more testimony? We ourselves have heard it from his own mouth." Then the chief priests with the elders and experts in the law reached a decision. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pontius Pilate, the governor. When Judas, who had betrayed Jesus, saw that he was condemned, he felt remorse. He brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders and said, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." But they said, "What is that to us? That's your problem." He threw the pieces of silver into the temple and left. Then he went out and hanged himself. The chief priest took the pieces of silver and said, "It is not lawful to put these into the treasury, since it is blood money." They reached a decision to buy the potter's field with the money as a burial place for foreigners. So that field has been called the Field of Blood to this day. Then what was spoken through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. They took the 30 pieces of silver, the price the sons of Israel had set for him, and gave them for the potter's field, just as the Lord commanded me. Early in the morning, the Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium. They did not enter the praetorium themselves, so they would not become ceremonially unclean. So Pilate went out to them and said, What charge do you bring against this man? They answered him, If this man were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you. Pilate told them, Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law. The Jews said, It is not legal for us to put anyone to death. This happened so that the statement Jesus had spoken, indicating what kind of death he was going to die, would be fulfilled. They began to accuse him, saying, We found this fellow misleading our nation, forbidding the payment of taxes to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king. Pilate asked him, Are you the king of the Jews? It is as you say, Jesus replied. The chief priests accused him of many things. When he was accused by them, he answered nothing. Pilate questioned him again, Are you not going to answer anything? See how many charges they are bringing against you? But Jesus still did not answer anything, and Pilate was amazed. Pilate went back into the praetorium and summoned Jesus. He asked him, Are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered, Are you saying this on your own, or did others tell you about me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it that you have done? Jesus replied, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. You are a king then? Pilate asked. Jesus answered, I am, as you say, a king. For this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to me. What is truth? Pilate said to him. After he said this, Pilate went out again to the Jews and told them, I find no basis for a charge against him. But they kept insisting, He stirs up the people, teaching all through Judea, beginning from Galilee and all the way here. When Pilate heard this, he asked if Jesus was a Galilean. When he learned that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem during those days. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad. For a long time he had wanted to see him, because he had heard many things about him. He hoped to see some miracle performed by him. He questioned him with many words, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the experts in the law stood there vehemently accusing him. Herod, along with his soldiers, treated him with contempt and ridiculed him. Dressing him in bright clothing, Herod sent Jesus back to Pilate. Herod and Pilate became friends with each other on that day. Before this, they had been enemies. That is our reading of the Passion history. We'll respond with that seasonal sentence together. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. By his wounds we are healed. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. God's word for our encouragement are verses from Matthew chapter 26, verses 35 to 41. Peter said to him, Jesus, Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. And all the disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. He told his disciples, Sit here while I go over there and pray. He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and distressed. Then he said to them, My soul is very sorrowful, even to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. He went a little farther, fell on his face, and prayed. He said, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. He came to the disciples and found them sleeping. He said to Peter, So, you were not able to stay awake with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you do not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Dear fellow worshipers, have you ever noticed how one small mistake can cause big problems? Here's a couple of examples. In our area, midsummer can be very dry, and so there's warnings out. Maybe it's a no-burn warning where you're not supposed to have campfires and you're not supposed to burn your trash, things like that. Well, unfortunately, there are people that aren't paying attention, and every once in a while we hear about somebody having a campfire out in the national forest, and this little campfire gets out of control and ends up burning hundreds of acres out in the national forest. Anybody remember the Space Shuttle Challenger? Long time ago, January 28th, 1986, they launched the spacecraft, and it's going up into space, and I don't know how many people are watching it on TV like I was. And after 73 seconds of being in the air, it blows apart. There's some kind of explosion, and all seven astronauts on the Challenger died. You know what caused it? Later, they determined it was just this little rubber O-ring between the fuel cells on the Challenger that were defective and caused the explosion. Sometimes sin, it seems like a small thing to people, not a big deal. But think of what sin does, how it destroys faith, how it condemns people to hell, and how our God doesn't want us to have anything to do with it. Tonight, as we study God's Word, we're continuing with our theme of three words of truth. Tonight, we're going to hear Jesus tell the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane to watch and pray. They were to be on guard for what was happening to Jesus. They were to be taking notes about the way that Jesus handled things. But they were also to watch. Watch out so that they wouldn't be tempted. And when they were tempted, they were not to rely on themselves. They were to rely on the Lord. Watch and pray. We watch Jesus willingly do all these things to save us. And then we pray that God will keep us strong in our faith. Ever since the Garden of Eden, people have been taught to defy God. That's really what the devil did. God created the devil as a good angel, and then he and some of his evil angels did something to disobey God. They defied God, and then God sent them to hell. And then the devil comes to the Garden of Eden to tempt Eve, and he tries to get Eve to do the same thing. Did God really say you shouldn't eat from that fruit? Oh, that's not really going to happen, that you're going to die. God's holding out on you, so don't trust God. Defy God. And they did, and they brought sin into the world. In this Bible reading for tonight, that's what Jesus' disciples were really tempted to do, to defy God. Right before our reading for tonight, Jesus tells Peter what's going to happen. Peter, you're going to deny me three times. And the rest of you disciples, you're all going to run away because you're going to be afraid for your lives. When I'm arrested and betrayed, Peter, you're going to deny me when you get to the courtyard, and the rest of you are just going to go into hiding. And that's what they did. You heard Peter and how he denied Jesus in our reading of the Passion History. And all the other disciples, they ran away and hid, and they're in that locked room until the day of Jesus' resurrection when he comes in there and shows himself alive. They did exactly what Jesus told them to. But in our Bible reading for tonight, you hear Peter say, oh, come on, Lord, I'll never deny you. Even if I have to die with you, I'll never deny you. And then all the other disciples, they said the same thing. Come on, Lord, you can't be serious that we're going to deny you and give up our faith. Isn't going to happen. They were really defying Jesus, as if Jesus didn't really know what he was talking about in this Bible reading. And that's where the disciples made their mistake. Who was Peter really trusting when he gave his response to Jesus? Even if everyone else does this, I will never deny you. I'll even die with you. Who was Peter really trusting? Himself. His own ideas. He thought he had the physical strength or maybe the spiritual strength to get through it. But he certainly wasn't listening to Jesus. And that's how Peter denied him. He didn't even think it was possible. He wasn't prepared for that temptation when it came. And there was a lot of pressure on Peter in that courtyard. We recognize your accent. I saw you in the garden. Jesus warned Peter so that he could be prepared. But he defied the Lord. and then wasn't prepared. And then as our reading of the Passion history said, Peter went out and wept bitterly. Then Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, of course, before some of these things happen, and he takes the disciples with him. He wants them to see what's going to be going on. And after they get there, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John with him a little farther into the garden, and they're going to sit with Jesus. And Jesus says, "Stay here and keep watch with me." Jesus wanted the disciples' companionship in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus knew his Heavenly Father's plan. He knew what was going to happen. He knows that this is all now taking place after 3 years of earthly ministry and riding into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday just a few days ago. Now it's getting very real. This is the plan, and Jesus knows what's going to happen in that garden. He wants the companionship of these disciples. And he prays, and we've talked about Jesus' prayer before. He went a little farther, fell on his face, and prayed, "My Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Jesus wanted another way, a way that didn't involve the pain and suffering, a way that didn't involve crucifixion, a way that would be easier for Jesus to handle. He was overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. But it wasn't just the physical side of things. Think of what else Jesus was bearing as he hung on the cross. He's taking care of the sins of the entire world. You and I could never understand what that was like, but we do know our own sins. We do know the shame and guilt of our own sins, and multiply that by a billion or however many people would ever live here, maybe then we have some idea of the pain and agony that Jesus felt, not just the physical part of the crucifixion and things again, but bearing the sins of the entire world. No wonder Jesus is in such duress in the Garden of Gethsemane. No wonder he says, "Stay here and keep watch with me." Stay here, watch. What were they to watch? Were they to watch for Judas to come? Were they to watch for the mob to show up when Jesus would be arrested? No. Watch what Jesus is doing. Watch how willing he is to do whatever his Father asks of him. After Jesus prayed those three times, saying the same thing, the Father gives him the answer, "Jesus, there is no other way." And Jesus is willing to go through with it. He says, "Not as I will, but as you will." Notice that Jesus wasn't like Peter saying, "Well, Lord, I'll never go through this and I won't be able to handle it, so I'm not going to do it." And thinking that somehow this wasn't all going to work out, like Peter thinks about his betrayal and denial. Jesus didn't do any of that. He was ready to take on whatever his Father had for him to do. The disciples were to watch. Look at Jesus. Look how willing he was to go about saving the world from sin. Look at what he was willing to do to save us all. But the disciples weren't just to watch what Jesus was doing. They were also being warned by Jesus about their own lives of faith. When Jesus returned to the disciples, he finds them sleeping. Imagine that. Peter, probably an hour ago, has just said, "Lord, I'll never deny you. Even if I have to die with you, I'll never give up from you." Peter is showing his faithfulness to Jesus, and what's he doing? Sleeping. James and John are there, the sons of Zebedee, and they're sleeping too. These men knew about Jesus. These three guys were there when Jesus raised that little girl from the dead. Peter, James, and John were there when Jesus had his transfiguration, when his appearance changed, and they got to see Jesus in all of his glory. Didn't they get it that this was a special thing? But they fell asleep. They didn't take any of this very seriously. And they certainly weren't giving Jesus the comfort that he was looking for at such a difficult time. He came to the disciples and found them sleeping. He said to Peter, "So, you are not able to stay awake with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you do not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Not only were they to watch how Jesus handled the work that he was doing as Savior, they were to watch out for temptation. The devil was tempting all of them to run away and hide. He was tempted Judas to betray Jesus, and then Judas ends up taking his own life. And those temptations would continue their whole life long. Just because Jesus was back in heaven didn't mean that the devil was going to give up on the disciples. He was going to tempt them throughout their ministries. Not just watch Jesus, watch for temptation. And when it comes, don't rely on yourself. Jesus says, pray. You and I say something similar when we pray the Lord's Prayer, and we'll do that in a few minutes, when we say, lead us not into temptation. God can't tempt us to sin, but he can help us deal with it. And in that petition, we're saying to the Lord, Lord, help us to watch out for temptation and then get us out of it. But it's not with our strength, not with our wisdom. It's the Lord. He gives us the help that we need in temptation so that you and I avoid it and can continue to live as believers every day. We say something similar in the third petition. We want God's will to be done. And when you study that, it means that Jesus defeated the devil, wants to continue doing that. Lord, your will be done in our lives. Help us to live like believers each day. And that would happen when they were watching, seeing Jesus' example, looking out for temptation, and praying for the Lord's help to remain strong in their trust in Jesus. When you purchase something at the store and you get it out of the box, usually there's some directions inside. Do you use the directions? A lot of times I don't. I just get it out of the box and I start to use it, and I only look at the directions if I can't figure it out myself. Maybe you do the same thing. What about the instructions that God gives us? We're tempted to do the same thing, aren't we? Oh, I don't really have to listen to that. My faith is strong. I don't have to watch out for that. I would never do that. Sometimes we sound just like Peter, denying what Jesus tells us and denying his instructions. And who are we relying on? Ourselves. How strong are we? What if we would have been the one standing in the courtyard as a disciple of Jesus, and all of a sudden all your enemies accuse you? You're one of the disciples. We saw you in the garden. Your accent gives you away. And Jesus has just been dragged off. Now he's being beaten up, and you're one of the disciples. And you're probably thinking what Peter thought. The same thing's going to happen to me. How strong are we when it comes to temptation and trouble? We're not strong by ourselves. But we are strong when we're trusting in the Lord, when we're watching out for temptation, when we're strong in faith because we're using God's word and sacrament. We can then watch and pray. And what a blessing it is, not only to have our faith, but to have the Lord help us live as Christians every day. Sin is more than just a small mistake. Sin changed everything about our world and about our lives too. Thankfully, Jesus has dealt with our sin. He's paid for it all. He's forgiven us and forgotten all of our sins. And now he helps us live as believers every day and watch and pray in our faith. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.